book of Colossians this morning in the New Testament. Colossians chapter number 1. And it's an honor to introduce my wife to you. Her name is Debbie. Last week we were in revival in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And this week, of course, we're in Kingsport today. We will be in Athens, Tennessee, preaching, and we will be in a little city called Resaca, Georgia. A week from today, we begin revival in Spartanburg, South Carolina, New Hope Baptist Church. 2 weeks from today in Newaygo, Michigan, a little church called Bills Lake Baptist Church up near Lake Michigan. In fact, it's an honor serving the Lord. Stand up, honey, if you will, please. Again, her name is Debbie. We count it an honor to be with you on this Lord's Day, not only this morning, but again tonight. Amen. Colossians 1. Let me tell you what's on my heart before I read the verses. I got to thinking sometime back, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, about Thanksgiving, the holidays coming. Everybody is attuned to that thought this time of year. And it dawns on me how thankful the Apostle Paul is in his writing. If you were to say just off the cuff, Brother Bagwell, you're going to preach on Thanksgiving, what text will you use? Almost automatically, I'm going to say Psalms. Take me somewhere in the Psalms. It's full of thanksgiving. But I'll declare to you this morning, Paul has got as much to say and in as varied a way as anybody in the Bible on Thanksgiving. If you're going to preach Paul and you're going to preach Thanksgiving, it's just amazing. I found the text in Philippians where he's thankful. Colossians where he's thankful. Ephesians where he's thankful. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where he's thankful. I read where a Bible teacher said the whole book of 1 Thessalonians almost is a rendition of thanks in Paul's heart for the goodness of God. 1 Timothy, he has a thankfulness paragraph. 2 Timothy, and in Philemon, and even in Hebrews, near the end of the book, Paul wants to offer thanks. I'm just going to say this. I hope I get a good amen. Christians ought to be thankful people. Of all folks who ought to be grateful, we should be among the first. Now, Colossians 1, why this text? Here's why. Well, number one, the Lord's got it on my heart. But number two, this text starts with Paul being thankful, and it ends with Paul being thankful. The paragraph I'm going to read is bracketed by thanksgiving. It is almost a double thanksgiving portion of Scripture. And that makes me want to know, for what is Paul thankful? What is driving Paul's grateful spirit? You know, it's Paul who said, in everything, give thanks. And so, I'm going to read the verses. It'll take a few seconds to do that, but it'll certainly be worth the time. Colossians 1, starting at verse 3. Colossians 1, beginning at verse number 3. We give thanks. Y'all see that? We give thanks. And I'm just noticing, Paul didn't say, I give thanks. We give thanks. While he writes the epistle to the Colossians, to that little church, there are 2 or 3 people gathered around him. And he has talked them all into giving thanks to God. Hey, it's not time to preach yet. I need to read the text, but we give thanks. Paul's the one writing. We give thanks. That's a pretty good indication right there. Help me now. Thanksgiving is contagious. Paul wants to give thanks, but he ends up saying, no, we all give thanks. I'm glad it is contagious. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now, well, preacher, what's he thankful for? We give thanks to God, praying always for you. The you is plural. Praying always for y'all. Here's what he's going to give thanks for. Hope I get an amen. He's giving thanks for other Christians who also believe on the Lord. That's tantamount for me standing here today giving thanks for y'all. And you have already today several times given thanks for the preacher. God bless him. God touch him. God you. We ought to thank God for each other today. I got to read it. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since the day we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. I got to quit stopping, but is there anybody here got any hope in heaven today? Anybody here plan on going to glory one of these? Hope. He's thankful for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. The gospel's come to you as it is in all the world. Bring it forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. He's thanking God for them. Verse 7. As ye also learned of Epaphras. We're going to take just a few minutes this morning and meet Epaphras. As ye learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. Let me show you what's happening, then I'll get right back and read my text. He starts out thanking God for these believers. But he doesn't thank God long, I'll need an amen, till he gets to praying to God. See, that's one advantage of thanksgiving. If I get genuine thanks in here to him, it won't be long till I'll be talking to him. I'll be praying to him. I'll be interceding to him. I'll offer supplication to him. Now, let's see what he prays for the Colossians. And here it comes. Verse 9. Since the day I heard, I don't cease to pray. To desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Watch this. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Look at verse 12. Look at the first two words of verse 12. Giving thanks. Giving thanks. Do y'all see it? He started out giving thanks. He prayed a little bit. And now he's giving thanks again. He wants to offer giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered... I'm about through reading. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I don't know if I'll be able to preach worth anything today, but I'm going to tell you this. I sure did choose a great text. Say amen right there. My, what scripture that is. Watch the way it flows. Starts out giving thanks for saved people. Ends up praying for them. A pretty good prayer. They'll have wisdom and understanding and power and might. And then ends up thanking God again. Thanksgiving prayer, thanksgiving. And the second thanksgiving is richer and fuller and deeper than even the first thanksgiving. That's the text. That's the plot of today's message, today's sermon. And since I got till 6, I won't have to worry about getting through her. Amen. Not everybody's smiling right there, preacher. I don't know why. What I want us to do, I don't have the sermon divided into point 1, point 2, point 3, or whatever, 4. Probably should, but I don't. We're just going to go into this a verse at a time. We're going to peel it back like it's an onion. Layer by layer, and taste it, and enjoy it, and chew on it, and see, I'm going to need an amen, see what the Holy Ghost has for us today. All right? Colossians 1, verse number 3. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk just a minute about that verb, to give thanks. To give thanks. How many of y'all believe we ought to give thanks? Talk to me. How many of you believe He's worthy of our thanks? How many of you down in your heart today need to and want to be more thankful? Sure. We give thanks. Listen to it. Our English verb to give thanks is a translation, our King James translators working in a manuscript called the Textus Receptus, translated the Greek verb, listen to it, eucharisteo. That's the verb to give thanks. Eucharisteo. That would have been the very word Paul wrote down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't speak English, he spoke Greek. Eucharisteo. What does it mean? Give thanks. But how does it mean give thanks? Listen, this is so important. Eucharisteo. The little prefix U-E-U, it means good. It means real good. It means well. It means pleasant. It means delightful. You. Charisteo. What in the world? It's the verb form of the little noun charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. And what is charis? Grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace. Put it together. What does thanksgiving mean? What's the basis of thanksgiving? I'll need an amen. Good grace. Y'all getting it? Good grace. Well, what have I got to be thankful for? I got a headache. What have I got to be thankful for? They cut my hours this week. I'll tell you something we got to be thankful for, and I'm going to need a little help here. The good grace of God. I once was lost. I've been found. I was blind, and now I see. I was on my way to hell. Now I'm going to glory. Aren't you glad for God's good grace today? And if it ever dawns on us how good He's been, how sweet He's been, how pleasant His grace is, we will be eternally thankful. I give thanks to God. Now watch this. Who are you thanking? To whom are you doing? To God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grammatically, we have a little bit of a riddle here. He could be saying, I'm giving thanks to God, who is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And can I stand up here? I want to make this announcement. God, He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he could be saying, I give thanks to God, who is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But equally so, grammatically correct, he could be saying, I give thanks to God, and additionally, it's a conjunction, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He could be saying, I want to thank the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and God. Whoa! Who would that be? God and the Father of our Lord Jesus. You get it? Jesus is God. Oh, I want a better amen than that. Jesus is God. He well could be saying, I'm giving thanks to God. Which God? There's only one God. Jesus is God. God the Son. And to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Either way, he's thanking the Godhead. He's thanking the triune God. Give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But hurry. I'm talking to myself. Hurry. We give thanks to God the Father, praying always for you. Praying always for you. You won't thank Him long till you'll be praying to Him. Let me say it again. You won't thank Him long till you'll be praying. In fact, thanksgiving is a form of prayer to some degree. Praying always for you. Oh, I got to tell you something. When Paul writes Colossians, y'all probably already know it. He's in jail. He's in prison. He has been locked up for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a lot of time on his hands. He can't travel. He can't conduct revival meetings. He's locked up. The last verse of the book, he's in bonds. The word means he's in chains. So what does Paul do with his spare time? Smile at me when I tell you. He prays. Does he sit around in that jail cell moping, discouraged, depressed? No, sir. He says, I'm bubbling over with thanksgiving. What in the world are you thanking God for? I'm thanking God for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them over yonder 1,000 miles away in the city of Colossae. Thank God. Hey, we ought to look around today and thank God for every saved person in this house. We should. Thanking God. Praying. Always for you. The word for prayer is so neat. Listen to it. It's a Greek noun, prosuke. Hear it again. Prosuke. What does it mean? Pros means to go to something. To go to somebody. Pros. Literally means face to face. Close. Prosuke, suke is a word that means wish, desire, need, craving down in my heart. Here's what prayer is. See if you get it. If you don't, I'm going to go back and explain it a little more. It's going face to face with somebody big. Somebody real big. And telling that person your needs, your cravings, your hungerings,
and the desires of your heart, I'm glad we have the opportunity of prayer. Hallelujah. Pray. Always for you. I'm honored to be in your presence. But I'm telling you, ain't nothing special to be around this old boy. I've never been in the presence of a president. Well, I stood on the side of a railroad track and watched George Bush, the older George Bush, is campaigning down toward Newman, Georgia. I saw that's the closest I ever been in the presence of a president. But I've been in the presence of somebody bigger than a preacher, bigger than a president. I've been face to prosuke. I've been face to face with Almighty God. That alone will make you thankful. Said I thank God for you. Man, I'm still in verse 3. I thank God for you. Said I'm praying always for you. Now, I got to speed up. What is it that's got Paul so excited about these Colossian believers? Look at your Bible. Look at your text. And in verse 4, if you mark your Bible, if you don't mark it, that's all right. But if you mark it, circle the word faith. I mean there in verse 4. Faith. And still, again if you mark it, verse 4, circle the word love. Something about their faith and something about their love. And then verse 5, circle the word hope. The word hope ought to be marked. Faith, love, and hope. Y'all see it? Faith, love, and hope. I think in 1 Corinthians 13, that great hymn to the agape love of God, Paul talks about faith, hope, and charity. That's faith, hope, and I promise you, if you're here today and you're saved, help me with an amen. You got faith. Amen. That's how you got in. That's how you got saved. By grace are we saved through faith. But I not only got some faith today, hallelujah, I found out He loved me. The love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. I got faith, I got love, but I got more than that. I got me some hope this morning. I got hope He's coming back to get me. I got hope I'm going to heaven. I got hope He answers prayer. Thank God for well-rounded Christianity. Let me ask you this. Anybody here got any faith today? Brag on yourself. Anybody here got any love in your heart? Anybody got any hope this morning? That's what's got Paul so thrilled about the Colossian believers. But oh, I got to tell you something. Paul has never met them. Paul has never had the opportunity of going to the city of Colossae. He says in chapter 2, I've not seen you to your face. He just heard about their faith. He just heard about their love and their hope. I'll say this, thank God for testimonies. I want a better amen. Thank God they hear about what we've got in our hearts. I got to show you something, though. It's in verse 4. Your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have to all the saints. Y'all watch this. Does anybody here believe every word in that Bible is inspired? Then the wording is important. Faith in Christ Jesus. Love to all the saints. We'd better notice the order of those words. keep your faith in Him. Could I get an amen there? He's the only one that won't ever let your faith down. Hallelujah. And then your love to all the saints. Watch carefully. Paul didn't put a lot of faith in the saints. He put his faith in the Lord. Love the saints all you want to, but you better keep your faith in Jesus. You know how when churches go through trials and difficulties, when families go through hard times, if we put our faith in some individual, sure as the world, he'll let you down, she'll fail you. But if you keep your faith in him, hallelujah, he will never falter a time. Faith in the Lord and your love to all the saints. Are y'all okay? Let's go a little further into our text. Oh, look, he wants to talk about the gospel. I got to get to the prayer he prays for, but he wants to talk about the gospel. Said verse 5, ye heard before. How'd they get saved? Ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let me tell you what's got to be present when a sinner gets saved. Either immediately physically present or already in his heart. Hope I get a little help here. The Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Nobody ever gets saved apart from the truth of that precious book right there. Anybody here believe that's the Word? Anybody here got a copy of God's Word in your lap or by your side this morning? The Word. Listen to this now. Logos. L-O-G-O-S. Logos. What does it mean, preacher? Word. It is the very five letters Paul would have written down. You heard the Word. You heard the Word. Thank God for preachers of the Word. Thank God one day I heard the Word. Logos. But what is Logos? What is the Word? Logos in Greek gives us the English word, you'll hear it. L-O-G-I-C. Logic. What is the Logos, the Word of God? It is the logic of Almighty God. What is one's logic? Now get this, don't miss it. It's what one thinks. That's what God thinks. That's the mind of Almighty God. Not my idea. Doubt I would have written it. Certainly not like it is. That's God's idea. Aren't you glad today we've got the logic, we've got the mind, we've got the thoughts of an Almighty God in front of us? Said so you heard the Word. Paul is thankful they've heard the Word. Look what he calls it in verse 5. It's the Word of the truth in the gospel. The Word of the truth in the gospel. How many of y'all believe that's truth? The Word of the truth in the gospel. I can't stop at every single new vocabulary word that pops up here, but that word truth is astounding. Preacher, according to the lexicons, according to the sources, the word truth means this. Something once you get it, once it hits you, you never get over it. You never forget it. I sure am glad one day it hit me. Jesus is the Son of God. And you know what? I hadn't got over that since it hit me. Sure am glad one day it hit me. He died on the cross for my sins. Hallelujah. Hadn't got over it since that hit me that day. The word of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wants them to know how they got saved. Oh, amen. Verse 7. He also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who in the world is Epaphras. How'd he get in on this Thanksgiving paragraph? Epaphras. He's somebody, he's not a Jew. Epaphras is as Gentile as a name can get. Look what it says about Epaphras. Verse 8, he declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras has been hanging around those Colossians. There is reason to believe he lives in Colossae. Somehow he's made it to Rome and he met up with Paul. And he's telling Paul about those Colossian Christians. Epaphras, he's born again. He's a fellow servant of Paul. Now watch. Epaphras. I thought I want to look up that name, Epaphras. It is an abbreviated form of the name Epaphroditus. There are two men with the name of the contracted name in the New Testament, both of whom helped Paul. Epaphras. Listen. It's a heathen name. Epaphrodite. Blended, contracted, Epaphras. Epaphrodite. You hear Epaphroditus in it very carefully. What does Epaphrodite mean? Y'all, I don't know how to tell you. It's the name of one of their heathen gods. Aphrodite. Aphrodite is also known in the ancient world as Venus. A heathen, lewd, filthy, corrupted deity. This man is named after an idol, a false god. Shame, shame, shame. Oh, I need to tell you something about Mr. Aphrodite, Epaphras. One day, I'm going to need an amen, he got saved. Can I run that by you again? One day he got saved. And I guess it don't matter if your name used to be Lover of Aphrodite. Once you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we know who you really love, don't we? Could I stop a minute and thank God and praise God and shout hallelujah? I'm glad He still saves old sinners. I'm glad it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a rank heathen. If you'll repent of your sins, if you'll trust Him, He'll wash them away in His blood. Your sins away. Epaphras. And here he is befriending the Apostle Paul, and Paul is thankful for him too. Are y'all all right? Are y'all still listening to me? Let's go to another verse. I'm hastening to that 14th verse, quick as I can get there. Oh! Probably don't have time. We got to show you a little bit of what Paul prays for. Preacher, this would make a mighty good prayer list for the members of this sweet church. Watch. Starts out in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, heard about your faith, do not cease to pray for you. This is the Paul who wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. He said, I don't cease to pray for you. I don't think that means he prays for them 24 hours a day, 24/7. I don't think it means that, because he wants to pray for the Ephesians. He wants to pray for the Timothy and Titus. He wants to pray for the Thessalonians. But he says, I'm praying for you incessantly. I cease not to pray for, and to desire, verse 9, desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Watch. It's going to take about 2 minutes to develop this verse. Paul said, I'm going to pray you'll be filled up with the knowledge of His will. Anybody here like to know, I'm going to need 2 or 3 amens, like to know God a little better? That's one reason we're here. You might not have known, but the Bible's going to be here. That don't matter a hill of beans. If your pastor climbs in that pulpit, the man who feeds you, when he gets up there, preacher, tell me more about God. I'm hungry for heaven today. Reveal to me His might and His will. I pray you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. God's will. Listen to it. The word is thelema. What in the world does it mean? What God wants. What God's desiring. What God wishes for life. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's desires for us. I'm going to say this. You may not want, sounds a little ugly. You may not want to say amen. Hey, a lot of Baptists don't have any idea what God's desires are. Paul said, I'm going to pray God will fill you with the knowledge of His will. Now listen, this is so important. There is a false religion starting up in the day Paul writes these letters. It is now called Gnosticism. It's deadly. Doesn't even believe Jesus is the Son of God. But the Gnostics, Gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, that's the Greek word for knowledge. The Gnostics said this, we have been, watch me, enlightened. We got it. We know about God. We know about angels. They didn't believe Jesus was the way to heaven. They believed there were thousands of levels of angels. And you'd get to know them and you'd finally one day be absolutely illuminated in my Gnostics. And if a Gnostic ever got false religion fully enlightened, the word was epigenosis. Epigenosis. That means you're just about a saint walking around down here. Gnostics. False religion. Epigenosis. Watch what Paul does. Paul says, forget all that mess. Forget all them lies. Forget all that untruth about Jesus not being the Son of God. Paul says, I'm praying you'll get it. Knowledge in this verse. Epigenosis. Paul says, I'm praying you'll get what they want. I'm praying you'll get the lie. It's a lie when they use the word. I'm praying the God in heaven will fill you, enlighten you, knowledge you, fill you with His wisdom. He said, let's bypass those lies, those untruths. May God give us the true knowledge of His wisdom and His will. That's what he's praying. God give them knowledge. Look, quickly, look. I got to find my place, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge, epigenosis, of God. There's so much here. that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Would you watch me a minute? I pray you get knowledge. I pray that knowledge will fill you on what God likes, God loves, God wants in your life. And then you will, it goes head, heart, that you will walk worthy. Walk worthy. An amen if you get it. It goes from head to heart to feet. If God's in my head, He'll end up in my heart. And if He's in my heart, it'll affect how I walk. It'll affect where I go. It'll affect the manner in which I live day by day. He's praying for His people in this manner. Verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His power, and to all patience and long suffering with joy. You know what? You can be filled with the knowledge of His will, His desire. You can be living right. Some folks go to church 6 months, 8 months, a year, 5 years. But until this last request is filled with His power, His strength, His might. I want you to hear Brother Bagwell. If we don't have His power, His strength, and His might, we'll end up being quitters before this thing's over with. Preacher, I've never preached this in the pulpit that I can remember. I recorded it some weeks back. It's jumping out at me today in a more living way than I've ever seen it. What a prayer to pray. He didn't ask God to give him a new pair of shoes. He didn't ask God to give him a better house. He didn't ask God to give him a chariot to ride. He prayed they'd get wisdom and power and strength and love and holiness. That's prayer on the highest level. Verse 12. I'm getting ready to get to the conclusion of the message. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here he is giving thanks again. He's done what I told you He's going to do. Giving thanks. Praying. Nice. Giving thanks again. I wonder something. Appreciate the amens I hear and the sweet nods and the smiles. He started out giving thanks. He prayed a while and he's giving thanks. I'm wondering this about Thanksgiving. It might be habitual. It might be habit for me. Hey, you give thanks on weeks other than the third week in November. We can give thanks every Lord's Day. I think you can thank the Lord on Thursday mornings and Tuesday afternoons as well. Thanks. Anybody thankful? Remember, for the good grace of God today, I ask you again. Giving thanks to the Father. Why is He thankful this time? Because He hath made us partakers of the inheritance of His saints in light. I need a box of Kleenex. I see one over here, I think. What in the world is He thankful for? His inheritance in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? The word inheritance means this. Your part of the box. We're not going to call that Kleenex. We're going to call it a box of God's blessings. Your part in the box. Ma'am? Oh. Your part son.
You like to got a double portion there, buddy. Amen.
Well, the Bible, that's silly. You're delaying this sermon. What in the world you do? Hey, I want to make an announcement. It's not a box of paper, and it's not a preacher from Georgia. One day the Holy Ghost of God come by my way. One day He opened up the treasure vault of heaven, and He began to pour out blessings all over me. I mean one after another, after another, after another. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful He lets you in on it today? Is there anybody here today blessed by an almighty God? Is there anybody here today? It's like He opened up the windows of heaven. He's pouring them out all over you. Hallelujah. That's the good grace of God right there. I'll buy you a new box of Kleenex. Don't worry about that. Now we close the message. Paul, giving thanks from the depths of his heart, says this in verse 13. He got to talk about the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Preacher, I'm a hurrying. Children's church and little boys and girls attend. But I just got to tell you about this. He hath delivered us from the power of the little verb that is used there for delivered literally means rescued. Rescued. One day I was in the prison house of sin. One day I was in the darkest environment my life ever had or ever could have known. But guess what? I'll need an amen. I got rescued. You talk about the rescue squad. Thank God for every trained EMT. But I got rescued by heaven's EMT. I got rescued. I need an amen. I got rescued by the divine physician. I mean, He raided the prison house where I was in my sin, and He set me free. Hallelujah. That's a reason to be thankful today. Said He translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. Preacher, that word translated is beautiful. Both in English and in Greek, it means this. He found me here. Who said that? And He moved me there. Y'all ain't getting it. He found me on my way to hell. He translated me across the divide. He translated me and He set me down and I'm on my way to heaven.
Amen.
He found me. I was dead. I was dead in trespasses and sins. When He laid me down over here, thank God I'm born again, enjoying eternal life. Anybody here been translated? Oh, that's a reason to thank Him. And then my last verse. Translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, that's Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sin. We have what? Redemption through His blood. Let me ask this and then I'll define the word real quick. Anybody here been redeemed? I was hoping a few more of you had. Anybody here been redeemed? What does that mean? Redeemed. Literally. English and Greek. Bought back. Bought back. I was His to begin with. He created me. But I sold myself to sin. I sold myself to ungodliness. I sold myself to debauchery. But you know what He did? By His blood, He found me, He loved me, and He bought me back again. Hallelujah. hath redeemed me through His blood and gave me the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. My last thought. Euthymia gives the word forgiveness. What does it mean? The themi part means to send. Ah, Euthymia means to send away. This is what Jesus did with my sins when He redeemed me. He said, sins, I'm not going to talk. I'm saying, I believe I'm going to have to talk. Sins, be gone. Sins, out of here. Sins, as far as the east is from the west. Sins, buried in the depths of the sea. Thank God today, my sins are gone. And so are yours in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord sort of laid on my heart. When Debbie and I came in, I was undecided. Had two different ways, and I thought, I don't know to go this way or go that way. Here's where I believe the Holy Ghost settled my heart. Hope you get this. And I sure am thankful He did. Thanks. Thanks. He starts out giving thanks. He prays for them. And he ends up giving thanks to an Almighty God in heaven.